Good morning, everyone. I'm Ward Ahmed, and today I have with me
Abdul Majid.
And today is Tuesday. I don't know if I've said this before, but Tuesday is truly, truly my favorite day of the week. Ever since I was a kid, by the way. Tuesday is just a good day, man. But how are you doing?
I hate all days equally. I was just telling her. No, it's fine. Tuesday is good. I love Wednesday because it has a very hopeful feeling that the weekend is near. So yeah, my favorite day is Wednesday.
No, for me, Wednesday is like my slowest day. But how are you doing, Majid? How's your day going?
It's a lot of things happening. It's mind-boggling that there is an event, a finance week event, Abu Dhabi finance week event happening. Every second, there is something coming out of it.
Yeah, so there's Bitcoin Mina too. Like today's
that's
their
also
last
happening.
Day.
Yeah, so the first day was good. Bitcoin Mina, yesterday, it started in the capital of Abu Dhabi. The capital of capital, Abu Dhabi, the Bitcoin Mina conference debuted, inaugurated by the UAE Minister of Tolerance and Coexistence, Sheikh Nayan bin Mubarak. That's an interesting thing. The event highlighted the UAE's push to lead in blockchain and fintech, attracting 5,200 participants. That's a big number for a paid conference, actually.
Insane.
Yeah, and featured key speakers like Saifuddin Amos, who emphasized that Bitcoin's alignment with Islamic finance principles is very important. Apart from that, AE Coin, the UAE's first regulated stable coin, secured final approval from the central bank, promising stability and utility within the nation's dirham-backed economy. These milestones reflect the region's ambitions to shape global finance and advance innovation while fostering economic inclusion and ethical financial systems. So this was the summary of day one of Bitcoin Mina. It's happening today. If you have not registered it, you still have time. Just go register and go to that event.
The doors actually open at 9 a.m. Yeah. So you can still go if you want to. But just like on the general topic of things happening all the time. Last night, Majid, I was taking a walk with my grandmother around the community. It was actually 10:40 p.m. at night. I know I should probably be sleeping earlier. I'll get there soon. But we were just taking a walk, and it was like, by the way, it was completely quiet. Like you can't even hear crickets. It's nothing. And I remember when me and my grandma were walking. Oh, she's so cute. When she was walking, she was like, she kept looking at the ground. Like she kept, and I just ignored it, headphones on, listening to my music. I was like, you know what, do your thing. And then we kept walking and she was like, Ward, isn't it so strange? And I'm like, what's strange? And she went like these people, like in the UAE, not only is it clean at 2 p.m., 3 p.m., it's clean at 10 p.m. Like even when the roads empty out, everyone goes home. It's kind of like a party. You know when a party ends, you're like, damn, I gotta clean all of this now. She went like, even when the party ends, people are going to sleep, it's not dirty. And I don't think about these things, by the way, because I was raised here. I don't realize it. But because she came from Sudan just a year ago, she like everything, she's so hyper aware of it all. And I don't know, this point really, it just really got me thinking on the Middle East and the region and how they've like rebirthed like every possible concept that you can think of. And just speaking of rebirths in general, this brings us to our first topic of the day today, which is that Ray Dalio, the billionaire founder of Bridgewater Associates, recently described Abu Dhabi as a renaissance state on a panel at the Abu Dhabi Finance Week discussing the Emirates' rising prominence as a global financial hub. Now, we know that recently Abu Dhabi was ranked as the wealthiest city in the world with the largest sovereign wealth funds and the most powerful, really. Now, if we focus on this term renaissance, in French, it actually means rebirth. So this is very interesting. Let me tell you what rebirth specifically he's talking about in Abu Dhabi. What he's basically saying is that Abu Dhabi is positioning itself as a key player specifically in the hedge fund industry and that it's leveraging its vast sovereign wealth and neutral political standing. So alongside Dalio, UBC's CEO Sergio Ermotti also emphasized the city's connectivity and infrastructure, crucial for its growth as a financial sector. And Abu Dhabi is sitting atop 6% of the world's oil reserves. I know, that is absolutely insane. And managing $1.7 trillion in sovereign wealth, it it has been able to attract such global firms in the finance and investment sectors. And this has been very specific to hedge funds, which are just flocking to the city with firms like Revan Howard, which managed $10 billion in the emirate. And we've also had Paul Marshall, the co-founder of Marshall Wace, which controls $65 billion. And he is also in talks to expand operations in Abu Dhabi. So we're seeing that there's this renaissance, specifically in hedge funds. And you really have to ask, like, you know, why does this matter so much?
The main thing is the Abu Dhabi Business Week ended last week. We had a partnership with them. The Abu Dhabi Finance Week is now happening. All the big people that we saw at FII as well in Saudi Arabia, they're here. Larry Fink, chairman and CEO of BlackRock, is there. Ray Dalio is there, who said this. He's the founder, and now, and he's a CIO mentor of Bridgewater Associates. He's the founder of Bridgewater Associates as well. Sergio Ermotti, you said he's the CEO of UBS. UBS is the biggest bank, the Swiss bank. Peter Abraham, Chief Strategy and Growth Officer at IHC, IHC owned by Sheikh Tanoon. He's nowadays
everywhere on social media. This man is everywhere.
Every day he's posting a picture with someone
for sure.
big.
Yeah. Just this morning, Sheikh Tahnoon, he was with the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook. And by the way, you know what I see this as? I truly feel like there might be a deal between Apple and G42 because G42, it's actually the leading AI tech giant company in the UAE. And not just that, even recently this year, they, you know, they received $1.5 billion in investments from Microsoft.
Yeah.
And just recently, they acquired AstraTech, which is the parent company of Botum. And they have a lot of, I believe, sovereign wealth funds backing them, Mubadala. So we're only going to see more and more. And I truly think, imagine him meeting up with Tim Cook. This is no coincidence. This is no coincidence. We've seen that they've partnered up with other tech giants like Microsoft. So we might get something out of this. But
yeah, the main thing is IHC on the media part, G42 on the AI part. There's like multiple big companies that which then have subsidiaries. We talked about G42. G42 has so many companies under it. There's a $100 billion company which is only there to invest in AI infrastructure, MGX, which invested in OpenAI's funding as well. So everything, for everything, they have a separate company. So nothing gets mixed under one big company. They have a company, subsidiaries under companies, and then them being specifically for one thing. So yeah, Mr. Tanoon is, to be honest, the guy right now, because everyone is talking about AI, and he's not the Minister of AI. Minister of AI is different, but he is the leader in this race. He was named by Times list in the 100 most influential people across the globe in AI. So he is a big person.
He is a big person. But just on that, back on that topic of Tim Cook, it was interesting this morning when I saw the photos of the Apple CEO with Sheikh Tahnoon, because I also saw photos of him with, what's it called, with this all-woman Apple Academy in Saudi Arabia. And it really just got me thinking on this topic of women. I more than anything love when I see women shine. Even this morning, I was watching the news, Majid, and it was, I believe, it was Saudi Arabia, and it was this woman, and she was speaking about Saudi women in general and how beautiful and amazing, and how everything that, you know, they create is it's absolutely amazing, and it just got me on this topic of women. So basically, Apple, they established this academy that actually taught more than 2,000 women in Saudi Arabia, and like, keep in mind, it's an all-women's academy. Now, I know maybe some people are thinking, no, equality, make it fair. But, you know, as a woman myself, somebody who lives in the Middle East, I love it when exclusive spaces are created for women to be comfortable and learn in comfort. Yeah. And this academy is actually at Princess Noura bint Abdurrahman University. And it's just really beautiful. And even recently, when he was in the UAE, he also took a photo with these Abu Dhabi student girls, and they were showing him how they use their iPhone Pro. So yes, We do always speak about how these men have absolutely amazing achievements, yeah. but women are leading in this field too. Even recently, I was watching Third Network, Majid, and they were speaking about this Saudi girl. She grew up in America, and then what she did is that she went to Saudi Arabia, and she started this startup that basically helps other startups raise funding for their companies.
Nice.
I completely forgot her name, but her story was really interesting. So we are also seeing that, you know, there's not just a renaissance for hedge funds. There's a renaissance for women in the Middle East, you know? They're leading
for everything.
For literally, absolutely everything.
Literally everything.
But for a woman in particular, it is very personal to me, and I just love seeing it.
Talking about the hedge fund that he talked about, there's an interesting thing that I read was Abu Dhabi Global Market, which is the head, like center of all these hedge funds coming in. It has four towers, and there was a point where it wasn't full. So they were trying to get tenants to come in, join Abu Dhabi Global Market. Now those four towers are fully packed. And actually the ADGM, the Abu Dhabi Global Market, they have announced an expansion plan. So it shows that how much people have suddenly realized that there is a lot of capital in the capital of UAE, and they want to manage that money for people. Hedge funds basically manage other people's money, and they have also money for themselves. So this is the idea, that the capital pool that have been accumulated throughout Middle East, people are just running in, jumping, trying to get a piece of the action and coming in and
the
trying
FOMO
to...
The FOMO is so real here.
Yeah,
it
literally the FOMO
so
is real. That's
here.
The main thing. So yeah, this is happening. The Abu Dhabi Finance Week continues till 12th of December. Today is the second day.
Yeah.
You can join it. There's like a lot of stuff happening on it. We'll keep you updated, obviously.
Yeah. And just back on the hedge fund, you know, what does this really mean? As I mentioned, with major players like Brevan Howard and Marshall Wace already involved in Abu Dhabi, what's going to happen is, as Majid said, more people are going to jump in. Mm. You know, more people are going to follow suit. And the expansion of ADGM's free zone, it's only going to draw more people in.
That's the nicest thing that can happen to Abu Dhabi right now. And Abu Dhabi Finance Week is, and the Abu Dhabi Business Week that happened, these two events, like, make the core of whatever is happening, and you'll get every update from these events that what can you expect in the next year, coming year as well. So that's a very good sign. Talking
it's already
about
happening too. Like just recently, we discussed how a bunch of these U.S. companies, they finally received approval to have their own operating offices in Abu Dhabi. Yeah. So it's already happening. This is not just some. More will follow, though.
Yeah.
More will follow. And they're all the more welcome.
$1 billion funds, $1 million funds, even everyone is coming. That's the main idea. Talking about the good stories, there is a likelihood that Property Finder, which is one of the biggest platforms for buying, selling, renting property, their CEO, he revealed that they might go public. They have plans for it. And talking about public, Dalabat today is trading on DFM. I opened the DFM account. Right now, there is no like change in the price. They have opened at 1.6 dirham per share. So let's see, by the end of the day, let's see if it goes up, if it like outperforms everyone. Mm. Does it do good? Does it do bad? At the end of the day, for tomorrow's newsletter, we'll have
the
update.
At the end of the
day,
Delivery Hero is winning. They're winning a lot, you know?
They're getting a lot of money out of Talabat. And
but trying German to get to, Delivery Hero. Yeah,
they're trying to pay their own debt.
Yeah, and...
Funnily, Talabat is valued more than their parent company. It is the funniest part throughout. We've covered a lot of Talabat. You saw, we've done everything from the day they decided.
But I think that's completely normal, Majid, because I think that's why they acquired it in the first place.
Yeah. No, but they acquired it for like in millions, and now the valuation is in billions.
They saw the potential.
Yeah, so, and a Kuwaiti guy had this. He, I remember, we did his Dreamer series also. He has now a startup called Flowword. They deliver
Flowered.
They can
deliver
flowers anywhere in the world in temperature controlled cars and all that stuff. So that guy built Talabat, and then they just came and swooped in and took over, and now it's $1 billion company,
and
nearly $12 billion of evaluation.
With this guy that you met, what's his name again, Magic?
I forgot his name again.
Wait, you know what?
But yeah, it's on the reels. If you want to watch his story, we have a Dreamer series which you can watch. So yeah, that's the main idea about him.
I believe his name is Abdul Aziz. Yeah. And you know why I truly think the brands he's developed are so successful? Yeah. Like now, if you're taking a look at Flowered, I always see their marketing on TikTok, by the way. I always see their marketing on TikTok. Their marketing is elite. It's so smart. It's so human. I feel like it really touches that human part in people. And I think that's why his brands are so successful. They're genuine. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm one of those people, Majid. I'll tell you something. When I purchase in something, I like when it's genuine. I like when I feel that there's a very sincere line and relationship between me and the brand, and you see it in his brands, you know, you see it in Talabat, you specifically see it in Flower. Check out their ads on TikTok.
Yeah, I've seen
they
that.
They're absolutely amazing. But just to
basically,
expand,
they have a very good way of creating brand loyalty.
They do.
Like Apple.
I'm not saying I'm loyal.
No,
it's just
not
more
loyal.
Of you know why I remember them? By the way, it's not even because Love in Dubai has worked with them.
Oh, yeah, we have worked with them.
It's not even that. It's just more of I remember them because of their ads.
Nice.
Their ads really ring true.
Yeah.
They like you remember them. They're in your face. It's like, bam. Do you know what I mean? And I see a lot of ads every day. And if I remember you, I do think that's something kind of special.
And in this age also where you have 30 seconds, 5-second reels, you're just scrolling.
So much is coming in
remembering
all the time.
Something, that means they actually made something good.
Exactly. Yeah. And just building on what Majid said, going back to the CEO of Property Finder, in addition to discussing the IPO, they also revealed that they recently raised $90 million in debt financing to buy back shares from its first institutional investor, Beko Capital. So this deal for them, it marked such a significant step for the company because it valued Property Finder at roughly $1 billion, double the company's $500 million valuation after a funding round in 2018 led by General Atlantic.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why this matters so much is because Property Finder, it's really building to be such, you know, like a really important player in the real estate market. And now we all know the real estate market in the UAE. It has a lot of players.
Yeah.
So for you to be a very prominent player, a leading player, a charging player, you know, you need to have what Property Finder has right now. And they're also actually serving millions of users per month. And this IPO, it could lead to them just expanding more and building on it.
Yeah, nearly 5.5 million monthly active users. Mm. So that's a big number. Apart from that, the good thing about Property Finder is they have the first mover advantage. So they came in 2007 and it's a very good first mover advantage for them. So that's the good thing. The 2 billion AED IPO, Talabat, you're talking about that? You're signaling at something, but main idea is they have said it that they may go for an IPO. Let's see when we get the details. Talabat is trading today. Let's see what Talabat does at the end of the day. A lot of things are happening in the world of finance and economics. We'll keep you updated. Thank you so much for joining us. Right?
Thank you so much for joining us today, man. It was a good day. Yeah. Good discussion with Majid, as always. This is Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, a part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. You can find our newsletter on Smashy TV, and you can also find us on X and on Instagram. Thank you so much for watching, everyone. Have a great day. Have a productive day. Thank you. Tune in tomorrow.